Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast where we ask, whose fault is it that you're gay? And if you're straight, why are you so obsessed with us? Like, come on, get off my jock. I'm sitting here minding my own. I am back in New York after a gorgeous trip to Florida. I did make a video that made fun of Florida people, and to no one's surprise, some people clapped back and they said, then get the fuck out. And you know what I did, babes?
Bipes. I did bipes.
But I am such a fan of Florida. If you're listening from that state, it was gorgeous. It was a little Wizard of Ozzy with a potential tornado moment, but we took it in stride. And now I'm back in New York dog sitting the most gorgeous dog. Not the most, because I don't want to piss off any other dog owners. But my dear friend Lindy, her dog Barney is staying with us. He's actually walking right now. If you hear little steps in the background. But lots of exciting things happening in Gay Ass Pod World. I just recorded for one of my favorite podcasts that I won't say yet what it is, but being a guest on it was truly a dream come true. So I'm excited for that to come out, and I will let you know what it is. But for this week, of course, we have the incredible Iconique Atsuko Katsuka. If you don't follow her on social media, it's a must. The dance videos, we talk about it in the episode. Her grandma is featured. It's brilliant. It's truly like a must do right now situation. That being said, though, Atsuko Katsuka is a stand-up comedian, an actor, a writer. She was actually named as one of Time Out LA and Vulture's comics to watch. She's written for television. She also has a comedy album called But I Control Me that is out now. I will definitely link that in the show notes. You gotta follow her on social media. Her handle is Atsuko Comedy. It's A-T-S-U-K-O. Comedy, A-T-S-U-K-O comedy on Instagram, on Twitter, and she is truly an incredible dancer, comedian, writer, actor. It's all of it. It ticks up all the boxes. Please follow me on social media at Eric Wills, and we had so many amazing listeners last week send really nice messages about Matt Rogers' episode, so if you haven't yet listened to that, it's a really incredible episode, and many more episodes, of course, have been recorded and have some really great guests coming up, so enjoy this episode, and here she is, Atsuko Katsuka. Before we hit record on this here podcast, we were talking about the mercury of it all. It's been such a day. I mean, not only scheduling and tech, they're like drilling outside of my home, and it feels like I'm on the set of Jurassic Park. Like, I literally will see glasses shaking on a table, and I really am blaming it on Mercury in retrograde. So you consider yourself a believer?
I am. I am such a believer. As of recent, you know, and that's all it takes. One time for me, you know. Well, I like that you had construction going. Oh, so it's not an ongoing thing. They just started today.
Yeah, I mean, they popped up somewhat recently, but then I didn't hear from for a long time. Mm-hmm. And one of my jobs is like being on Zoom calls with a lot of people. And I literally at 7 a.m, they started. It wasn't a jackhammer. That sounds too low stakes. This was Earth. I mean, they were probing the core of the Earth underneath Astoria, Queens. I don't know why. I haven't figured it out, but it's scary.
Yeah, but the timing of it with like rescheduling and then tech glitches, probably. And overall emotions, you know. And I was just saying, like, because I just found out you're a Virgo. I'm a Gemini. I had read that it affects Virgos on Geminis the most.
Which I've never heard before, and honestly, it kind of validates me a little bit because...
I love playing the victim. I love being like, oh, yes, of course.
Of course it's harder for me. Mm-hmm. I was born into this harder life. I mean, yeah, I wonder why Geminis and Virgos experience it more, but hey, I believe it.
I'll tell you something. I got a hand poke tattoo during the pandemic, and I didn't know what I wanted. I showed up not knowing what I wanted, and she was like, okay, well, we're about to like put ink to your, you know, chest, so do you know what you want? And she was like, are you a Gemini perchance? And I was like, I am. She goes, Virgos and Geminis, like, never know what they want when they show up to get a tattoo. So I don't know if that says anything more about the retrograde stuff, but apparently we can be undecisive.
Great. So we deal with stress horribly and we're difficult to deal with. Sure, sure, sure.
But we're fun.
When's your birthday?
May 27th.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm just kind of going through my Rolodex of my friends and family of who, because I don't know who the Geminis are. Like I have a twin brother that is, of course, a Virgo as well. And he, yeah. But we're very different and we're on the cusp of Virgo and Libra. And so I do think one of us got more Virgo and the other got more Libra. But,
oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I would ask him if Mercury in retrograde affects him and he would probably just stare at me and then ask, what is that?
Then he'd be a Libra. I don't know. I'm just guessing. No, because you did the same thing to me. You were like, I don't know what astrology. I just kind of barely what. I'm basing this off of knowing like 10 things about astrology. So
I think most people do though. I think like it's more common for it to know 5 to 10 things about astrology and mm-hmm. claim to have a good handle. Whereas people that really know a lot maybe are deemed a little weird. Is that controversial?
Oh, you're done. You're done. You're canceled.
Fuck. I knew something was going to get me. Who knew it was astrology of all things?
Well, which one do you think? Do you think people, do you know 5 to 10 things about, okay, do you know more about crypto or astrology? That's what I want to know.
Astrology. Crypto, I know that straight men do it and they have different, I know the emojis they put in their Instagram bios.
Yeah, that's about it for me too. My husband does it. And or like the crypto thing, and every time he talks about it with his friends, sorry, yes,
no, continue.
Oh, you looked shocked. Like, why are you still with him?
No. when you say he does crypto, you're saying that he, you know what, I'm actually dumber than it's rare to think realize I'm dumber than I am, but yes, because when I think of crypto, I think of the people on Instagram that are messaging you, hey, you should invest in crypto. Follow me, babe. But mm-hmm. you're just saying that he just himself invests, or is he leading right. other people in investing?
No, no, no. Because that's like, that's pyramid scheme level. He's one of the people that fell into it. And he's just like invest. It's just like, he's just trying it. It's not like he's an expert either. You know,
I love
just
that
like
for
I'm
him,
trying
though.
Astrology. You know.
You know what? We all deserve to have a little experimentation here and there. Is he succeeding with the crypto?
No. Mm-mm. Again, he only knows like 10 things about it, you know. So he's just like, oh, my friend made some money off of it. Maybe it'll be nice, you know. In this economy, of course, you want a little hope, you know. So hope sometimes gets you into crypto. Or astrology.
Hope gets you into crypto or astrology is mm-hmm. rules to live by. I aspire to one day be a person who knows about investing things into things. I mean, I mm-hmm. heard about Dogecoin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I heard about...
You said that like you were like so sure of it.
And then you heard me trail off.
Dogecoin and...
The O elongated. It started really confident.
It's okay. I was calling it Doge for a long time. Like Doge.
Doge.
Yeah.
Who let the doggies out? I mean, you know what I have to tell you is that right before you called in, I put a little mood music on to mm-hmm. to really prepare because your energy in life on the internet, it's just such... a jam. It's so positive. So I put a little Earth, Wind, and Fire on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I really feel like while Mercury is in retrograde, we are on the same level, and I'm appreciating your positive energy you're bringing to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And let me just officially welcome you and officially thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. That was a really beautiful segue.
Thank you.
Let's go. Yeah, you had like thought about it. I mean, you've done this a million times. Thank you for having me on. Eric.
Oh my gosh, of course. I'm so interested in so many parts of your journey, but also about just like how your day is going. Did anything happen today that felt really good to you?
Oh my goodness. It was just like boring meetings. Not boring, but you know, meetings are boring to talk about. But that's all I did today because it's the weekday, you know?
Like
I truly let myself go on the weekends, really.
Wait, how do you let yourself go?
Just like double the amount I'm drinking and stuff, you know, and not thinking about work. Just fun.
So wait, you go to a bar, what do you order first?
Mezcal on the rocks.
Ooh.
How about you?
You know, I'll be very honest with you. I order, if I'm at a wedding or at a bar, I get a whiskey ginger ale.
Okay, yeah.
But the thing is, I'm going to be very honest with you, is that I rarely drink these days. I do prefer an edible or a marijuana moment. And that really has been like a big love of mine in this pandemic.
Oh.
However, this past weekend, I went and saw friends I haven't seen in a while, and we got a drink at a bar. And I got myself a whiskey ginger. It was strong as hell. I had one. I also did eat a 2 milligram edible just because I didn't think I was drinking.
Sure.
And it's nothing. But the edible hit the second I was like a quarter into that drink, and I felt like I was at a rave. I mean, I felt wasted. And then I did wake up the next day, and that was the only drink I had. I had one drink. I felt very hungover. I'm sure
like the amount of blood, like all your blood left your head immediately, I'm sure, you know, and was like, what is this thing we haven't seen in a while?
It really was, because I respect the people that are able to have the few drinks and then, you know, move on with their lives. But I woke up being like, I made a mistake.
Yeah, no, I get it. So you're a social drinker. In that, like, during the pandemic, when you weren't seeing people physically as much, you didn't really have to drink, which means you're not an alcoholic, so that's good.
I definitely am not an alcoholic, but I did have to make sure I was being sober enough in the pandemic. Like, if I were to partake in an edible situation, like, I wanted to make sure I wasn't more days of the week I was partaking versus less.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I have to stay on top of, but so far, so good.
Wow. You've got control, and it's intimidating.
Oh my God. I'm the most intimidating person you've ever met. Although to be very fair, like I did lose my train of thought the second I started speaking in that moment.
You did the intro, you were listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire. If I can help you at all.
Please run
and
down everything.
You're doing edibles. Yeah.
Of course. When am I not talking about fucking edibles? I'm a broken record. I think that's the tough part about hosting a podcast is that, and I know the listeners feel this way, that sometimes I'll bring up a story that I forget. Sometimes I forget these are recorded. I'm just talking to a friend. And then I'm like, you know what? I repeat stories in my day-to-day also. So
that's
if you're
okay.
listening and you've heard a repeated story, I want to thank you for still being here. But we were talking about your day in the meetings. I want to tell you that I'm sure you feel the same way about the business is, of course, tough, and it can feel like it might take a while to get to the levels you want. But I feel like, from my perspective, you are so in your power, and we are celebrating you because we can see you so clearly in such a unique way that you are proud and unabashed, but also positive. And I hope it feels like it is. There's so much excitement happening because of you embracing that part of yourselves, and in turn, us embracing that. So it feels like you're doing huge things. It looks like you are, and I want to congratulate you and ask you how that feels.
Eric, I didn't know this was a spiritual session.
I don't know. I'm feeling spiritual
today. But that's gorgeous. No, I think I am too. And yeah, that was really nice of you to say, because one of the things that I make sure I don't forget, you know, in doing day-to-day things, even like meetings, dumb meetings or whatever, it's like I have to have fun doing it. Like I gotta be having a good time, and it shouldn't feel like so dreadful, you know, especially because then sometimes that might happen over and over again. Right? That sometimes work becomes that. I know some comedians or former comedians actually who don't do stand-up anymore because they were like, stand-up was becoming dreadful. Mm. I was getting really negative about it. I hated writing jokes. I hated performing. It petrified me. And then I would just talk shit about other comedians because I felt insecure. You know, it was like this terrible cycle.
Yeah.
And to the point they quit. But they're like, they found something else, like writing for a mm-hmm. TV show. So now they're mostly just a writer or something. And I think that's okay, you know? Like, because they're happy doing happy writing. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't feel negative at all doing this. I think it was just the performing part that was tripping me up. And for me, that's so important. Like, everything I do, everything I even post on Instagram, like, it has to have been fun even shooting it. You know,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that's really, I mean, that's, it's great to hear that, because I think it reminds me that if you are consistently feeling bad about one certain thing in your life, and it is very yeah. clear that a change needs to be made. I really try to subscribe to that too, because like, even if it's a day job versus a creative thing versus whatever, if a part of your day job is so miserable consistently day in and day out, there's only yeah. so much a person can take. And of course, there's a place of privilege of saying, just change it. But if you can change it, even if it is hard work, I think that that is the most, it is the best gift you can give yourself. And that is why I'm a broken record about therapy, because I will literally probably be in therapy for the rest of my life, because I need to continue to address the things that are not working for me and then just change it. Because as a Virgo cusp person, I got a lot of shit that I need to just like keep in check, because otherwise I'll drive myself crazy and the people around me.
Eric, that was the first time you said those words, Virgo cusp, and I could tell. And but that was so gorgeous.
Wow. Our spiritual connection. I feel this.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Only because you were saying, like, you know, only a few things about it. But but that was relatable. What you just did was relatable. Virgo cusps out there, you just spoke to them directly.
This is a podcast,
you know,
for the Virgo cusps of the world. How many are there, do you think? How many? What percentage of these listeners are Virgo cusps?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to say like 12 people. I don't know how many. I don't know how numbers work. I don't know how population works. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe you've accidentally like... maybe like all your listeners are Virgo cusps.
Whoa, what if? Or maybe I should start a new podcast that is just Virgo cuspies. And the title of the podcast is, Atsuko, what is the title of the podcast for Virgo cusps?
Almost a Libra.
Ooh, Almost a Libra on Earwolf.
Yeah.
I do want to also let the listener know that your nail color is incredible.
Thank you.
How would you describe that color?
It's a neon yellow matte. so it doesn't like shine and maybe hurt your eyes. There is a
dullness on top. Thank you for protecting the eyes. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say that with the brightness of these nails, with the brightness of your videos, am I doing another segue? I sure am, because I wanna talk about how the videos with your grandma started. As a person who also makes Instagram videos, I always am so interested in people's like, was it an accidental moment that you just first put something up and people loved it, or was it a pretty deliberate plan of taking over the world?
Yeah, no, like you just never know what people are going to respond to. So I don't know how people know, like, oh, I am going to take over the world. I have no idea how people know. You have to be really, really mm-hmm. smart, I think, and know history or something. Anyway, I think that's how like Hitler did it, right? But I don't know how to do that.
Girl boss.
So, you know, it was just like us having fun. And I joke around with my grandma a lot anyway. We joke about so many things and laugh, and we're stupid together. We're really stupid. So one day I just decided to dance. I sat my mom and grandma down and I was like, you're going to watch as I dance. Like, I think a lot of performers do that as kids, but I did it like, you know, as an adult. And I had my husband film it. Pretty much I had everyone I love, you know, I made them watch me perform. And it was funny because I was like out of breath and it wasn't going as well. My mom and grandma weren't showing enthusiasm at all as they were watching But I was like, oh, maybe that's kind of funny. So I posted it, and that's how it started. And then my mom and grandma were like, that's really funny. Yeah. Cause we were like, oh, I don't think she's going to make it through this dance. And so we weren't like clapping, cheering you on or anything. But that's funny. And then I was like, well, grandma, do you want to dance with me? And she's like, would love to. Are you kidding me? Like, don't make me watch you. Like, make me do something with you
in the video.
I want to participate.
What do you call her as your grandma? What is the grandma name?
I just call her grandma, actually.
Has grandma always been super game for these types of silly things, or was it something new you found out?
It was something kind of new that I found out, because I didn't even know if I was into these videos, you know?
Yeah.
So when I started, and then she was stoked about it too, I was like, oh, cool. This is a new thing we can do for fun together. And then like other folks enjoyed that too.
I mean, grandparents are they've been coming up a lot in this podcast for some reason. I don't know if it's because of like the...
I think because we had a year with not seeing them.
I think you're right because, you know, we're very lucky to be adults that still have grandparents. You know, I have one grandfather living. I call him Poppy. And I was just actually talking with Joel Kim Booster, and his grandparents have passed away. But we were talking about kind of mm-hmm. our different relationships with them and my husband's grandparents, and talking about how when we came out to them and what that was like. And, you know, my grandpa, he's 92 and he is really, really supportive. But I will say that it's always inspiring to watch you with your grandma, because she is so game. And my grandpa Poppy is like, he's so sweet. But I have had the idea of maybe having him on this podcast, of like, how crazy would it be to have a 92 year old man in Missouri be on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And so I broached the subject with him kind of casually when I saw him last in St. Louis, and he was like, what is it, what's a podcast? And I was like, when a man loves a woman. I was like starting to go through the birds and the bees of podcasting. And then if you're wondering what his response was, I'm going to say there really wasn't one. And I think that's because I think it was a no for now. Do you know what
I mean? Eric, it's too overwhelming. Like, even trying to describe what a podcast is, assuming he's already done this, so like, if he hadn't already, right, you'd have to teach him Zoom, you'd have to teach him how to record on his end, right? Which is already like, sounds like it'll take a long time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, people ask me, I have relatives in Taiwan who sell rice for snake meat, or like who trade rice for snake meat. Okay. Mm. I have freaking relatives who live in like by a mountainside. There's no address where they live. Okay. I've gone to see them. Okay. Now, they have a landline phone, but other than that, that's like their only connection to something outside of this village. When they have a message they want to send out, they send an uncle on a motorbike, on a scooter.
Wait, Atsuko, do you think I could have them on the podcast? I'm kidding.
That's what I'm saying. People ask me, do those relatives know you do stand-up? And I'm like, they have a landline. That's it. Okay, do they know I do stand-up comedy? In what world? They literally are in the rice fields, like in the sun every day. In what world would me telling them I do stand-up comedy and what that is not just wreck their world? Okay.
I can't imagine. I really can't imagine. I mean, I also am loving this visual of you having family members that are just like living their truth by this beautiful nature, disconnected in many ways from the horrors of technology. When you visited them, like, what is that like? I mean, is it kind of a spiritual, like a beautiful moment?
I only went once, and I was related to everyone in the village. I didn't know this. My grandma didn't tell me. My grandma, we showed up in a cab, but it's, you know, the whole time she's just like, oh, turn right at this one tree and then turn left at this thing. You'll see like a mailbox at that corner. Go another like 2 miles. It was that kind of directions. Okay.
Wow.
This is my grandma's, like, you know, my grandma lived there in that village. So of course at the moment I was having like a very like eat, pray, love moment.
Yeah. Was she born in that village, or was she born in the US?
She was born elsewhere in a bigger city in mm-hmm. Taiwan, but it's, you know, her husband, my grandpa, was from there. So she went and lived there.
Wow. But
it's just funny because it's like, why would I tell them about stand-up comedy and like make them stop their tracks in this beautiful life they're living? You know what I mean? To tell them, oh, you know, I tell jokes as a job. Like, that would literally, like, I think they would kill themselves. I don't know. I mean, not to be dark, but kind of.
Who knows what they would do, but we can know that it would be a shock. How far the shock would go, would it be life-ending? We're not sure, but it would be a gigantic shock.
It would be life-ending. I think it would wreck my world. If I just worked the rice fields every day, you know what I'm saying? And someone was like, you know, there's a whole career path some people take where it's just they literally tell jokes standing to people and that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm trying to do in my mind right now is trying to think, what would be the version of that for us? What would it be if someone were to tell us that something exists that was so different from our day-to-day? And I can't even, of course, because it's supposed to be something incomprehensible, I can't even think about what the example would be.
Yeah. I mean, would it just be like working on a rice field day-to-day and then trading it in for snake meat?
Maybe. Think you're right. I think you're right.
Because that sounds like a wild world to me, you know?
It does, but I think I romanticize it. Like, my immediate thought is like, wow, that must be so incredible. Or I'm sure it's like a very, of course, it's everything is relative and it's a very difficult life. But I think, you know, part of me has a jealousy of that in a way because I think I care about a lot of things that I don't need to care about. And that don't actually matter. And I think some people that live those lives have more perspective about what is important.
Do any of your like ancestors or like relatives come from like farming or like, or you know?
It's a really good question. I actually have thought a little bit about over the years. My older brother did this kind of like family tree moment of trying to get back as far as we could in our family history. And really what we found out is that I am pretty Polish on both sides, Jewish, like came over to the U.S. I might have a little Hungarian, but I think it's just like a lot of meats, Polish Jews that also work in the pharmacy business. That is like what I know. But there could have been farming in my history. Maybe that's why I'm so connected to your story. Am I a Polish farmer?
You could be, or sausage maker. Either way, those are kind of similar headspaces.
Kosher sausage, yeah.
You know, just like whatever you do for the machine. The things I just did with my hands, I'm pretty sure is not how you make sausage, which is, I think I just did a TikTok move, which is rowing. It looks like you're rowing a boat. I don't think that's how you make sausage, but what do I know? I come from rice.
Come on. What do you know about sausage making?
Yeah.
How dare you talk about my family's sausage making in the Polish field?
We don't even know if they do. That was me just choosing one thing, the one thing I know about Polish people. And that's my bad.
And I want to tell you that I am deeply offended. And I do want to tell the audience before we started recording, I wanted to ask Atsuko just a question about... I said I wanted to ask a question just to kind of make sure, like, stay on the same page. And then she was like, wait, what'd you say?
I said, I am half Japanese.
That is not what I was going to... Can you imagine? I want to make something clear here. Can you just tell me, are you half Japanese or not? I really do love the story about your family in this village. I mean, it's incredible to see how our ancestry affects us, but also how crazy different our lives are now. Do you believe in past lives?
Not so much past lives, just like generational experiences and trauma. Yeah,
sure.
I think those cycle, is that the same thing, past lives?
I mean, I don't know. I think yes and no. What about ghosts and spirits?
Yeah, I'm scared of ghosts. Yeah, so okay. I believe in them, but then it sucks because my only feeling is scared. That's all I feel. Yeah, how about you?
Do I believe in the ghost hunting TV shows? No, I think that's fully theater where they're like, do you see? It's cold. It's really cold. I'm like, how do I know it's cold? You're a good actor. You went to You got a BFA from Emerson. I mean, truly.
It's just like scream queening, honestly. You just have to, you know, be frantic and scream and, you know what I'm saying, at the right moments. Yeah.
Do you think if you got cast in a horror film, you'd be a good screamer?
No. I don't think so. Because if I know something, because I always like to spoil something for myself. So TV shows, I don't mind spoilers, especially if it's scary. I love to read about it first. And that's what I would have done if I was a good actress and I was prepared because I'm a professional. I would know how I died, right? And I think that would get in the way of my screams.
You would not be selling the scream because you're like, I know how this ends already.
Yeah. How about you? Are you a good actor? And that you can forget the ending.
I mean, I think I can forget the ending, but I'm a bad screamer. I wouldn't be, I mean, I would be like a very big parody or a caricature of a gay person screaming.
Oh, I'm not going to make you do it, but that sounded like a setup for you doing the scream.
It involves hands waving and my tongue out going, ah!
I think that's also a TikTok challenge that's going around right now.
What is it?
Anyway, I don't know. I think I've seen something about shaking your... Look, this is also me just glancing at TikTok, like, you know, 10 minutes a day.
Is that all you're on TikTok, 10 minutes a day?
Yeah, or else you'll be on it for days. That's what happened to the people. They're trapped. The people who have TikToks and make TikToks now, they're trapped.
That's what happened to the people. I do want to give a plug to a friend of mine who has a TikTok that I... She's so funny. Her name is Hannah Solo. If you're not following her, handle is Baby Magoo. Baby MCGOO. And she was just living her truth. I think she was maybe a little trapped in TikTok, but just posting her videos and I swear it felt like overnight.
Yeah.
She has over 100,000 followers.
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, like, it's crazy. It is. She's so funny. There's such like crazy characters. And the good thing about TikTok is I think people really embrace what makes you unique if you continue to invest every minute of your time in it. But it's also so random in that way. I mean, I'm sure you felt the same way about like just social media in general, posting videos that maybe people really embrace you didn't think they would, or the other side of it.
And the things you do control and know are good, like maybe like a good joke. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
Videos, I have no idea. Yeah,
no.
Videos. Yeah, no, I will follow her. Thank you.
Please. There's also a video on TikTok that I might send to you that I posted on my Instagram story that is one of my favorites. It's a guy that is saying, opening biscuits is so scary. And then he's trying to open this thing of biscuits where, you know, like you either get a spoon and then it explodes as it releases the air. It's a minute long video of him trying to open the biscuits and going, hi.
Oh my God. I swear to God,
it's a minute long video where you're waiting for him to open it, and at the end of it, he still doesn't open it, and then he goes, I can't get it, and then the video ends. And it's
Oh my God. So
I posted it to Instagram, and I got crazy amount of responses. A lot of people angry that I wasted a minute of their time because they didn't see it get open. But I made a video of like what it would be like to live with that guy, and it's just me trying to open and turn things on with a spoon and screaming. In fact, I could even, I have it right here. Let's see if it can pick up on this microphone. Let me just play the beginning of this.
Opening biscuits are so scary.
Oh. Oh my God.
That is him banging the spoon on the biscuits.
Oh, it's so suspenseful. Like, I'm scared for him too. And I know exactly how that feels because I got just one biscuit can thing during the demi, and it was scary because it was like the warnings on it are scary. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, beyond. I mean, it's that, and I don't know if this is like even scarier, but the champagne bottle for me, like it is like,
yeah.
I mean, but that's like an actual like hazard that could take someone's eye out.
Well, the biscuit thing too. I feel like mine said like just don't open it near a head, near an eye, something like that. And I was like, okay, well, that was enough for me to, you know, not open it.
That's enough for me to task rabbit someone to open this biscuit container for me. Yeah, It's so funny. Like I was just talking to someone about my husband is out of town right now, and this is the first time since the pandemic started that we've been separate from each other.
Yeah.
Basically, it's that he's spending more time with his family, and I came back for some work stuff to New York, and it's really just 2 weeks, but it's really crazy. I mean,
how are you different when you're not with him?
You know, it's actually in some bad ways, like in a way that I really need him. He's an amazing cook, and so I definitely don't eat as well. Like he does not really like us to get Domino's pizza, which I know I live in New York and that's garbage, but it's like a comfort thing for me. Maybe it's a childhood thing for me.
Yes.
But he does not love to get Domino's. And so I got it for dinner like the second day I was by myself, and it just felt so good. And then he asked me the next day, he's like, "What'd you have for dinner last night?" And I was like, "I had a really long day and I got Domino's." And he was just like, "Huh?" Like I could tell his response was like, "Interesting." But listen.
Yeah.
When you, what's the saying I'm thinking of? When the girls play. When you let the cat out of the bag.
Uh-huh.
When mouse leaves the house.
Two birds. You know, I'm not good at these.
One stone.
When you got a gift horse and it's you.
Don't look it in the mouth.
And when it's your Domino's pizza delivery person, you just eat it.
You just eat it.
Yeah.
Domino's. You just eat it.
That's not so bad. And it sounds like he's not being judgmental as well, you know?
No.
I have friends when their like partner leaves, they're like, "I'm going to smoke. I'm going to smoke, but please don't tell them." And I'm like, "Oh no, I think you're going to break up. I think you're not going to be together."
Have you ever said that to a friend? "Oh no, I think you're going to break up."
No, I'm scared of the partner too. So I don't want them to then like wake up. Is that so messed up?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Also, like, I try to, like, be like, "Look, that's y'all's thing, you know? If you get in fights about you smoking and stuff, that's not my thing. But, you know, maybe take a look, you know, about why you get so excitedly, like, so excited when they leave. And then you're like, 'I get to have a cigarette, but please don't tell them.'" But they're also so frightened. I'm like, Jesus. You know, maybe look into that.
Let's look into that, girly. I mean, yeah, I think a "let's look into that" is definitely a very positive thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I learned early on with dating Matt that I used to complain about just relationship things in general to my friends. And I realized that was not the call. That was not the thing.
Yeah.
And so luckily, like we've learned and, of course, work with each other on this stuff. But it's, you know, I don't think people teach a lot of things about relationships when you're young. I think it's obviously very romanticized, but there are some cliche things for a reason. But there are other things that no one really tells you about. Like, if you're in a dark spot in your relationship, it is not going to be forever. And you just got to address it and then evolve and move forward. Like, it could last for an hour. It could be a few days, whatever it is. Like, I used to think, when we were having a chat where I was like, I thought he was mad at me or I was upset with him, I was like, "Oh, well, that confirms that we should break up. Okay, so I think we're going to break up. Let's see, should it be tomorrow?" Like, and then like a minute will pass and he like gives me a kiss. And I'm like, "God, this is the best person. I love him so much." It's like, it's so up and
same,
down.
Same. I used to let it just like take over me. And I would be like, "Oh, it's over. It's over now."
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid of confrontation.
How long have you and your husband been together?
We've been together 7 years. And he's really good at communicating. I'm not. We're both a little stunted. Our moms have schizophrenia, both of them. And so it's not like that's why we met, by the way. We didn't like fall in love because of that. It just happens to be. And we found out like third date or something.
Wow.
But I think it has some things to do with like why, you know, we're like kids. We're literally still babies. Like, we don't, like, I'm unorganized. He's more organized. He's had to be for his, like, ADHD. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll, like, avoid confrontation or something about, like, we won't fix something in the house. That kind of confrontation. But he's really good at communicating, and I wasn't. So
yeah.
It helped, you know, where if we got in a tiny tiff, like, I would think, like, "Oh, I get it. If you're going to leave me tomorrow because of this, I understand." And he'll have to be like, "Wait, no, Why would that? It's literally just like, we just need to talk it out.
Yeah. That totally makes sense to me. I am curious, though, of course, about both of your moms having schizophrenia. Are there parts of your shared experience that you would compare notes about, or things that were different, or what, how, when you were first learning this, how did you relate to each other in that way?
Well, it's not like we didn't talk about it that much, because I mean, of course, you know, even with like something like schizophrenia, it's case by case, right. You know, and his mom's medication works for her. My mom's medication doesn't work for her. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different. But I think for the most part, arriving with like compassion to things, me and my husband do that. And we're very emotional and can sense when we're talking with someone if they're something's off, or you know, yeah. So that kind of stuff that we didn't really have to like talk about, but it was easy. It was kind of actually easy and cool because we didn't have to talk about it. It's like we understood each other very quickly because
yeah.
of it, you know?
Wow. It's really incredible, because I'm sure there's, while very different parts about case by case for each person, I think that there probably is a shared, like you're saying, the empathy you can have for people's feelings and being receptive to the cues you're getting, and the fact that you both have that is amazing. I mean, it's probably such a great thing to have in a relationship, because I'm always interested in couples who are together and how their backgrounds are different or similar and how that influences how they are, because yeah. in many ways, Matt and I come from very different backgrounds. But, of course, our values are very similar. I think our mm-hmm. senses of humor in many ways can be similar. But, of course, with those differences, it brings mm-hmm. challenges of, like, you know, how I handle things. I'm very, obviously, is evident that I'm, like, emotional and can be in my head. And he's much more pragmatic, which is great for each other. But sometimes
yeah,
you have to meet in the middle to understand why the other person is feeling that way.
Right. And then the pizza thing, that's a different thing. He just doesn't like Domino's.
You know what it is? I think he's really good about trying to eat healthily and like indulging when choosing to indulge when it really
counts.
And whereas I'm like, I used to be a dessert every day type of girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I realize that's not really sustainable, or like not even that it's not sustainable. It's just like, if I do that for the rest of my life, like I'm not exactly setting myself up for success. Like I would have a pint of Ben and Jerry's every day. Those are my vices. Or so, like, instead of alcohol, I like would dig into a chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I get you. That used to be my vice, and then I found mezcal.
Yes. Although yeah. I do. I like it so much of your comedy, how you talk about, you know, how Asians with lactose, it's a challenge, and Jewish people are the exact same way. We have the stomach issues. So I pop many a lactaid pill.
Yeah.
I do want to turn the attention off of me, because I feel like you've been such a gracious guest to let me talk about myself so much on this gosh darn episode. I do want to ask you, as this is a gay ass podcast, that, you know, why are you so obsessed with gay people? What is it? It's like, get off of our jock.
This is the part where it's like, I can't win.
I do feel like it's a bit of a Z-Way question.
It's very Z-Way.
How many gay friends do you have? But I actually don't mean it as such. I think I'm going to make it less of a lose-lose situation. I want to ask you, like, because I think that, like, you have quite a big gay following, because there's just so much of, like, unabashed being yourself, dancing queen of it all. Do you find, when you were growing up or even now, do you ever have been drawn to any either gay people, gay, or even just pop culture moments that have been canonically considered gay? Is that anything that like that you feel pulled by?
Yeah. Well, Margaret Cho, besides her being Asian American and female and a stand-up, right? Like,
oh yeah.
She was the first, I think she was the first like queer, performer, you know. Before her, I didn't even know what American stand-up was like. Mm-hmm. She was the first American stand-up comedian that I saw, that a whole set of, you wow. know what I'm saying, on DVD, yeah. like in the ninth grade I was like being dragged to church, and someone during a sermon in the youth group passed me her DVD and was like, you should watch this, you gotta go home and watch it, shh, don't tell anyone I gave you this, you know. And they were like, this is stand-up comedy. And I was like, okay. So I like watched it. Because in the special too, it ended with her being at, I think it was at, she was at the Supreme Court. And she was protesting with her fellow like queer friends against something they were trying to pass against gay people at the time. Mm-hmm. I forget what law, you know, it was, I think it was her Notorious Cho DVD. Anyway, so she's, yeah, she's, you know, if I can call her a moment, you know.
She is a moment. I mean, she's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment. I would love to have Margaret Cho on this podcast, and we can all put into the universe that one day that will happen. And I think that's a brilliant answer. I think she is so, so good in so many ways. And I want to tell you, this gay person you're looking at right now.
Yeah. And yeah,
it's a big fan of yours. So you need to know you are, I am pulled by you, Atsuko. I really am.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you. I thought you were saying like, don't forget about me. And I'm like, yes. And Eric, you are also a queer moment.
Can you imagine? Hello. Can you, what about this queer moment? You're staring him right in the face, babe.
This whole hour has been the best queer moment.
Do you think I should do a podcast where I bait every single guest just to build me up and to tell me how incredible I am? That is the
I think, and that one's called Queer Moment. A Queer Moment in Time. A Queer Moment in Time or something like that.
A Queer Moment in Time. And then Libra. What was our...
Almost a Libra.
Almost a Libra. I'm not a Libra. I do, before we say goodbye, I would like to ask you, Atsuko Okatsuka.
Yeah. Gosh, what? You crush that too, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you so much.
I really do. Hold on. Eric. Williams?
Wow. Usually people get Williams wrong. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I bet you they don't say the S, huh?
No. Yeah. It's always William. It's always like Eric William. I'm like, there's an S. Gosh.
Yeah. That's two people.
Two people.
If you say Eric William, that's just two people.
Yeah, no, I'm one person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Screw them. I got your back.
Thank you. Well, mm-hmm. I want to ask you an important question. What is your favorite Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh, so this is where I get in trouble because, you know, I came here, what, 99 to the States? And I'm just a girl trying really hard. And, well, you know what? I've only seen one movie by her. Because
great.
When did she... Okay, so it was during that time I was going to church. And then, yeah, so it was Sister Act. But because I was still learning things, I don't actually remember what the movie's about. Because
okay, wait,
I didn't know the freaking language.
Of course, and I do not fault you in the least. The fact that that's the movie, I'm so happy and grateful for the Whoopi Goldberg community that you were at least exposed to that. If you could tell me right now, without remembering a single plot point, I want you right now, before we say goodbye, pitch to me what the movie Sister Act is about without actually remembering it. Give me the pitch right now. What is the story?
Oh, gosh. Whoopi is like a really good, fun singer, and she is in a choir of a church. But then I feel like there's some bad apples, and so the choir almost gets dismantled. Also, I haven't seen it, okay, since like the fifth grade. So there's many parts missing. Truly, the only scene I remember is when they sing that I Will Follow Him song.
I will follow him.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's that like tiny, skinny white girl who sings really, really like she has a big voice. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you remember everything you need to remember. I truly.
Truly? For real?
There is a good choir. Whoopi's a good singer. The little white girl has a big voice. I mean, the only
thing... Okay, but what's the conflict? I don't know it.
Well, to be very honest with you, the first movie is pretty good, but the second, Sister Act 2, is what is, I would consider, the best of the best of the best. And basically, the whole conceit is that Whoopi Goldberg is a Las Vegas showgirl. she is asked to go undercover as a nun to help save this school from closing. And in the first movie, she is basically helping the nuns. And the nuns, I think the most important part that you're not remembering is Kathy Najimy, who is in Hocus Pocus. She is she is one of the nuns.
So great.
So good. And
but only really knew her when you said Hocus Pocus.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So and actually, I just read a piece of trivia about Sister Act 2 that they put in a line from Hocus Pocus into Sister Act 2 for her to say as a little nod, to Hocus
Pocus.
Wow, stop
it.
I know. Who knew? But listen, I want to say that while Mercury might be in retrograde, you and I are on the same planet, the same plane, and I'm so grateful you came on That's a Gay Ass podcast, and I cannot wait to see you continue to dance on small screens, big screens, and beyond.
Thank you so much, Eric. That was so gorgeous. I shouldn't. That was a good ending. I'm going to let you end there.
I will follow him, and I hope you will follow her on social. Atsuko Katsuka, so happy she came on That's a Gay Ass podcast. Make sure you follow her at Atsuko Comedy and follow me at Eric Wills. We have more exciting guests coming up. You know the drill. Please leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends. Follow us on Instagram at Gay Ass Podcast. And we'll see you next week. Stay gay, stay fabulous, and God, I love you so much.